A, that I brought them to Hong Kong 10 years ago. I think you'd have to be an idiot to bring your work clothes. In St Andrews, whenever I pick up a broom or a screwdriver or a hammer, I have three caretakers following after me, saying, "Oh, vicar, 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 let us do it, let us do it." If I take a ladder, they're all standing around the ladder. I can never do anything. The second amazing thing is I can fit into it. Just. Now, I thought I'd put this on today because I want to talk about being lazy or not being lazy. And I thought I'd put some work clothes on because my wife, I get into trouble occasionally because I say to people I was born lazy. And it's true. I was a Caesar birth. I didn't want to come out. I was very happy inside my mummy's tummy and I didn't want to come out at all. They had to come and get me. She waited for a long while and they said, "He's not coming out." And I said, "I don't want to come out. It's warm. It's comfortable. I don't have to do any work." So they came and got me. And she said, my wife says to me, "You shouldn't tell people you're lazy because they'll believe it's true." But, you know, there's a little bit of it is true. And so I want to talk to you today about a funny term, the sluggard. Now, in the book of Proverbs, there's this old-fashioned word, sluggard, the lazy person, the really, really lazy person. And I preached on the sluggard in a series in Proverbs, I think in 1987, I preached on the sluggard. And so it's a passage that I'd never preached on Proverbs before 1986. And when I, 87, when I preached on it, it's had such an influence on me that I've been mindful of it ever since. And so that's today what I want to do. And so I want to talk to you about, can we have the first slide up, please, the first one. No turning back, following Jesus for life. And this is the, we're looking at Proverbs today, and we're following Jesus every day, and we're thinking about the sluggard. Now, I'm also conscious that in recent weeks as I've been preaching, if you've been following, I've talked about dogs a bit. You know, I've used dogs. I like to be balanced, okay? So can we have the next slide? Today I thought, well, we'll use cats. The use of cats in this talk is entirely gratuitous. It has no significance whatsoever, okay? I just thought it might keep your attention while I'm talking if you look at cuddly, warm cat, okay? So the first thing we're going to talk about, when we talk about the sluggard in Proverbs, it's talking about the lazy person, and usually it talks about the lazy man. But it's lazy women as well. It's male, female. It's not just men who are lazy. We can all be lazy. And in the book of Proverbs, it talks a lot about lazy people. Now, there's a number of reasons why the book of Proverbs talks about lazy people. The first is because Israel, the people of God, are called to be a blessing to all the nations. So the salvation of the world is dependent upon Israel being obedient before God. And being obedient before God means that they're to live holy lives and they're to go forth and multiply and prosper and be a prosperous nation, but a prosperous nation that is holy, but also that cares for itself, justice and mercy for those who need help. It's a nation of people who work hard and they're not lazy and just sit around doing nothing. It's a prosperous nation because this is the nation that needs to withstand all the difficulties of famine and flood and attack from enemies and so on, so that they might be a nation of people, and out of the nation will come the Messiah who will save the world. So in the book of Proverbs, it talks about laziness first and foremost in a literal and practical way. The nation of Israel need to be hard-working, industrious people who live holy lives. But beyond the physical hard-workingness of the sluggard, it also relates to spiritual laziness. And so Proverbs teaches us not just to be industrious and hard-working, but spiritually to do the same thing as well. In other words, that we take responsibility for our own hard work, and we also take responsibility for walking before God in holiness and righteousness and obedience as well. So therefore, when the Bible talks about the sluggard, it talks about laziness, but it's talking about something bigger than that as well, and I hope we'll see that. So I've asked the question, how do you identify a sluggard? How do you identify a really habitually lazy person? Let's have a look at the next slide. The first thing you'll note is that the sluggard won't start things. You know, you might know someone like that. Heck, you might even be one, that sort of person yourself. You're always going to get down to it, you know. There are some people whose first name is Gunner. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, they're just gunners. They're always going to do something. And they never get around to it. Oh, they mean to start exercising, or they're going to start a new hobby, or they're going to start studying for that exam real soon, or they're going to start praying, or they're going to start reading their Bible. Oh, yes, I really do mean to start this or start that. They just never start. Now, my grandmother used to say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Everybody's got good intention, and it's just like a highway to hell. You know, it's no point having good intentions unless you act on them. And it's no point having things that you want to do or should do, and you just think that and you don't do anything about it. It's kind of like living your life as if you were going to send an email, but you didn't, you know. And if you're going to send an email and you never send it, then it's never got there. I do that all the time. I'm forever seeing emails and think, I must reply to that. And then 3 weeks later, the person says, did you get my email? Yeah, I was going to reply to that. And I haven't done it. So the Proverbs tell us, next slide, never do, well, the Bible doesn't say this. This is John Munier at some stage in my early life. Never do today what you can put off until tomorrow. A lot of people are like that. No, but seriously, next slide, please. The sluggard does not plough after the autumn and begs during the harvest and has nothing. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Can you get that idea? A lazy Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, lying down, just sort of turn over and have another sleep, you know. A little bit like that. So the sluggard won't start things. Let's have a look at the next slide. Let's have a look at the next slide. Thank you. Don't be a gunner. How do you identify a sluggard? Next slide. When the sluggard does start, she doesn't finish. You know, it's bad enough never starting, but it's even worse to start and never finish. What's that got to do? That cat's asleep. Okay? Let's have a look at the next slide. The sluggard buries her hand in the dish. She's weary of bringing it to her mouth. You know, the lazy person who gets the food in the chopsticks and can't even be bothered lifting it up to their mouth. They just never finish anything. A slothful woman, see, I'm talking about women as well as men. The Bible says men, but I'm changing it to women as well. There's no reason we're an equal sex congregation here. A slothful woman does not roast to pray, but the precious possession of a woman is diligence. So the Bible here is talking about people who catch their prey, they can't even bother cooking it. You know, burying their hand in the dish and, that cat's just fallen asleep in the food dish. Can't even be bothered eating. How do you recognise sluggards? They won't start, they don't finish. Thirdly, when the sluggard starts, they don't finish. And thirdly, where are we? How do you identify, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. How do you identify a sluggard? Next slide. Next slide. Always has excuses for not getting things done. Now, why have I done this? Next slide. There's a lion outside. I shall be eaten alive. Wives, if your husband ever says that, it's not true. You know, go and put the garbage out. There's a lion outside. I may be eaten alive. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand. Now, seriously, when people are looking for excuses not to do things, not to start them or not to finish them, the Proverbs is poking fun. There's a lion outside. It's a kind of stupid excuse that no one believes. But slothful people will make up excuses for all manner of reasons why they've never really done things. And there's a difference between reasons and excuses. And you need the wisdom yourself to discern the difference. But the Bible says, in fact, that a sluggard is like smoke in the eyes, you know, sort of the irritation of smoke in the eyes, or like drinking vinegar. It kind of, oh, you know, the lazy person who never starts, never finishes, who's just a person who can't actually and is making excuses, is a little bit irritating in the long run, because they lament about their life, but they're not prepared to do anything about it. So how do you identify a sluggard? Let's have a look at the next slide. How do you identify a sluggard? Next slide. Takes the easiest way. As the door swings back and forth on its hinges, so the lazy person turns over in bed. It's a wonderful, isn't it? It's a wonderful, just turning over, turning over, turning over, and not getting up. Sleeping in, not facing the day, just rather stay in bed. I mean, I have days like that. I just want to turn over and go back to sleep again and not face the day. That's how you identify a sluggard. They want to take the easiest way out. They just want to take it easy. And then let's have a look at the next slide. How do you identify a sluggard? I think that's Garfield, actually. Next slide. The sluggard requires lots of pushing. The righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked person goes hungry. The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him, because his hands refuse to work. I think we've got a bit of an idea about the sluggard. The lazy person in Proverbs, you know, they won't start stuff, they don't finish stuff. They're full of pride, they're just always making excuses. They need to be pushed all the time. Now, as bad as that might be in a literal sense, that maybe when it comes to our job and our work, and getting involved in study and finishing study, and you know, parents know how hard it is sometimes to push kids, and sometimes we push too hard, but we all know experiences. We all fit one or more of those characteristics at various times in our life. But also spiritually we do as well. As a pastor is a kind of like, at times, a spiritual doctor doing spiritual diagnosis. And often when pastors meet with people, without forming any judgment, because when a pastor meets with a person to talk spiritually, the pastors know better. But the pastor can identify often that there are characteristics in a person's life where they've been meaning in their walk with God to do this and do that, they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and they just never get started. Or else they start but never follow through with it. They make excuses. And they constantly need pushing and encouraging. You need to step out. You need to step out. The Bible tells us we ought to avoid being that kind of person. The sluggard, let's move on very quickly. The sluggard, next slide. The source of the sluggard's problems. The source of the sluggard's problems. Next slide. The sluggard is selfish and they think only of themselves. It doesn't mean that people always deliberately think they're selfish. But there are sometimes in our life when we are not performing the way we ought to perform in our work or in our home, let alone spiritually standing on our own two feet. The desires of the sluggard put to death, for our hands refuse to work. They crave for things, we want things, but we don't get them, while the righteous person gives and doesn't hold back. The sluggard's a pleasure seeker, loves pleasure, but will become a poor man because he loves wine and oil but will not become rich. Let's have a look at the next slide. The sluggard is short-sighted. The craving of sluggard people will be the death of them. We all know we want stuff. And we maybe all want spiritually we want stuff as well. It's very interesting, but I'm going to tell on Gary. Gary's over here taking photographs. I'm going to tell on him. Because Gary confessed to me a little while ago, a couple of years ago, that he was going to learn to play the flute. And he told me that he's going to play the flute next Sunday in church before I go. I got to tell you, that's 2 years. I've been wanting to play an instrument for about 20 years. I'm going to get around to it one day, honest. I'm really going to do something. And this guy comes and tells me in 2 years he's learned to play the flute. And I'm thinking, I wish I'd done that 2 years ago. I wish I'd learned Putonghua 10 years ago. I wish I'd lost weight 5 years ago. I wish... I'm going to do it pretty soon. When I retire, then I'm going to do it, okay? All of it. Okay, what are the solutions to the sluggard's problems? Let's look at the next slide. What solutions might we find? I don't know what he's looking at. My sermon, maybe. Okay, next slide. What is the solution? A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. Pain, pressure, and problems. What will help us get out of our sluggardly behaviour physically but spiritually? Now, it's been a bit of a joke between Dale and I, because Dale and I have worked together over a number of years, but my pastoral approach to some people is they come to me and they say, "Oh, Pastor, my life's in a mess, you know, and I'm feeling really bad right now and things aren't going right." And I say to them, "Well, are you reading your Bible? No. Are you praying? No. Are you coming to church regularly? No. Well, of course your life is lousy. Of course you're feeling bad. I'm not surprised. Good. It's God's way of telling you something's not right. You go to the doctor. Many of you have heard this before at newcomers events, if you've been to a newcomers event. You go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I'm feeling sick." Well, the doctor says, "Right. Are you eating regularly?" "No, I eat McDonald's every meal, 3 meals a day." "You getting any sleep?" "2 hours a night." "You know, do you do any exercise?" "Never." The doctor says, "Of course you're feeling sick. You're not eating regularly. You're not sleeping regularly. You're not looking after yourself." Now, spiritually, it's the same. We've lost our slide, have we? Is it time to finish? Can we go back to the slide I was on? Thank you. Pain, pressure, and problems. Not all pain, not all pressure, and not all problems have got to do with your own spiritual laziness. But some of them do. You need discernment to know how and which, perhaps. But sometimes when things are not going right in our life, it actually points to the fact that we probably should have done something sooner. I've got to confess to you, I wanted to print out, I'm using my PowerPoint notes here today. They're in black and white. They should be in colour. They would have been in colour if I'd downloaded the latest printer driver from when we moved into the office like 6 months ago and I installed the right printer driver, then I could print in colour, and I've been going to do it for a long while. And so I decided to do it this morning at 6 o'clock in this morning, and it didn't work. And so they're in black and white. You know, it's really easy. I find myself not being able to print in colour, and then I can't even print at all, and then I eventually print. And I'm at 7 o'clock, I'm thinking, "Why is God doing this to me?" And I'm thinking, it's not God doing this to me. It's the voice in my head saying, "John, when the IT guy was in like 4 months ago, you should have then let him do it on your..." No, I'll be right. I can do it myself," I said. So we all do this sort of thing. But spiritually, most of all, we need to understand that pain, pressure and problems, when things are not going right, maybe it's time to get our life in order Christianly. Perspective and priorities. This is one of the great verses in Proverbs. "Go to the ant and observe her ways and be wise. Having no chief officer or ruler or vicar, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions in the harvest." God even points us, forget dogs and cats, he points us to ants and says we need to be industrious, maybe just like the ant. So let's have a look at the next slide. No turning back, following Jesus for life, following Jesus every day. Let's have a look at a few of the verses that are following on the next slide, if we may. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Lord is understanding." The book of Proverbs paints this picture of the lazy person. There's many more verses. You can go and look at it. It's a very interesting reading. This picture of chronic procrastination, of inability to complete projects, of constantly blaming other people, and never being satisfied. And inasmuch as it can point in its own right to the way our lives are lived with our study and our work and if we're married and in our relationships, it points to those things. And we need as Christians to recognise that the Bible wants us to have life in all its fullness, and we call this the Life Centre, and here we are today. I hope that we are brimming full of the life which Christ offers us, so that we shine like lights to others whose lives are not filled with the life of Christ. And part of that reality of living lives that are attractive to people who say, "What is it about your life that I don't have?" Part of that has got to do with the basic physical disciplines of living life as people who stand on our own two feet, as much as we are able, and take responsibility for where we are as people. But then spiritually, it's the same as well. We are to be people who recognise that in following Christ and no turning back, life is not always meant to be easy. And the Christian life requires discipline. It requires application. It requires us to say we will start doing things and we will see them through, God willing. We will not always blame everybody else, let alone blame God, for everything that happens in our life that we don't like. We will not constantly make excuses, but we will be people who are about the work of preparing for the Lord Jesus to return. Now, there's something important to be said about that. I haven't got these verses up on the screen, but I want to take you to the writer of the Hebrews, chapter 3. Take care, brethren, that if any of you have an evil, unbelieving heart, that you fall away from the living God. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We, each one of us, have a responsibility to search our heart and to make sure that we're not leaning on somebody else to be responsible for where we stand spiritually. We need to be prepared to stand on our own two feet and follow Christ ourselves. I've said that before. Philippians, Paul said, friends, always follow my instructions. You did when I was with you, and now even more while I'm away. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. I want to encourage you to be people who follow Christ with a real desire to be able to support others who may well be going through issues in life where they can't perhaps triumph and get over the issues and the problems that confront them in their life. Because all of us at different times will be facing difficulties. And the Christian life is not just always triumph and nothing's wrong and I'm praising God and my life's a mess and I'm bankrupt, you know, and everything else has gone wrong, but I'm praising God because that's what I'm just told I have to do. Sometimes life sucks a little bit and it's just tough. And sometimes we need other Christians, brothers and sisters, who are able to lift us up and carry us because they themselves are in a different state, but they are taking charge of responsibility for themselves to be disciples of Jesus. Peter says, 2 Peter 1, for this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence in your moral, supplying moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. Brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing shake your faith. Always give yourself to the work of the Lord. And what I want to do today is encourage you. We can all have a bit of a laugh about, we can all identify procrastination in our life. And we know about putting the garbage out or getting ready for exams and doing stuff. But in our spiritual life, it becomes far more serious. Christ has given us everything. He's died to pay the penalty for our sin. He's heaped us full of blessing. And we're told that Christ gives us jam-packed and running over. But we as Christians are to walk worthy of the calling to which we are called. We are to walk in step with God's Spirit. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to take responsibility as much as we are able for ourselves, to set ourselves the task of seeking to become more like Jesus. And it does mean praying. It does mean reading God's word. It does mean being in fellowship with other Christians and sharing and supporting. It does mean serving and giving out to others, both perhaps within the fellowship of the church, but beyond that as well. It does mean supporting God's work through St. Andrew's and in many other ways as well. These are the spiritual disciplines and we can't escape and ignore them. And if we are not doing those things, then gonna do it one day won't cut it. Starting it without counting the cost and sticking at it and taking action to see it through won't cut it either. We are to be Christians who resolve to follow Jesus, no turning back. And every day when we fall over and trip over and make mistakes and we are like the sluggard, we pick ourselves up and we step forward again with the resolve that we will follow Jesus no matter what, no turning back. We will seek the wisdom that Proverbs talks about, because Christ alone is the wisdom of which it speaks. So brothers and sisters, thank you for listening to me this morning. Children, thank you for looking at the cats. Remember, every time you see a cat, think of the lazy person for some obscure reason. If you can do that, that would be good. Think of the lazy person in Proverbs and resolve, Lord, I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be someone who follows you, and day by day, millimetre by millimetre, or metre by metre, depending on the day, I want to become more like Jesus, so that I may be able to be one of the people of God at St Andrew's Church that is reaching out vibrantly into the community, so that people will come in and they will begin to taste and enjoy the life that Christ talks about, that is Christ in all its fullness. Let me lead you in prayer for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you for all your blessings to us this day. Thank you here at St Andrew's that we have so much going for us that you have given us. Lord, we learn the lesson of the lazy person, the sluggard in Proverbs. We pray that you will, by your Spirit, enable us to examine our lives. Enable us to see for ourselves the sort of people that we are. The people that perhaps we say we'll start things but never do. To say that we will start things but we never finish them. To be making excuses. To be constantly putting things off, seeking but never experiencing the blessing that comes forward. Lord, give us discernment and wisdom to know in what way that speaks to us. May our brothers and sisters encourage us to continue to move forward in growth. And Lord, above all else, by your Spirit, give us a stick-to-itness and a determination to follow Jesus, no turning back. And we pray it in his precious name. Amen.